So we're just talking about how a tiny shift, well, maybe not a tiny shift, but a shift in an approach in a relationship affects the whole system, right? And so, you know, whether you, when you come at something with any underlying degree of, if you're in a kind of pattern where you handle something some way and your partner handles something another way, and maybe you tend to kind of turn things up more when things get a little bit just stressed, and they might sort of cool off and distance and back off and say, okay, I'm not going to deal. That approach of, if you turn it up and you're coming from a place of anxiety and wanting to know the answers and wanting to, you know, a lot of high achieving sort of type A type people, we, you know, tend to, we will tend to sort of have a, you know, want things a certain way and expect the person to kind of like live up to the expectation. And what often happens is the message gets sent that they're not living up to the expectation, right? And then there's a reaction that happens that might not be favorable, or more distancing, or shutting down, or that sort of thing. So anyway, that's great news to hear that you've shifted your approach and you saw an immediate result, not anything that anybody's doing on purpose, but because we're humans, you know, we are, our relationships, I mean, there's all this new research on brains and what, you know, that we've been talking about for a long time that just shows that we are much more connected than we realize, and we can really affect a system of a relationship just by the way that we are self-aware and the way that we choose to approach it, right? So that's a great report. I appreciate it. I'm so glad to hear. I know you guys weren't really, you guys just hopped on, so that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Thanks.
Thank you for the update. I'm so glad to hear. So it's so I guess the question then is, what needs to continue to happen to continue to get the results that you want, right? What do you need to continue to do? What do you need to continue to be aware of? And you don't have to answer, or you can, but you know, I'm happy to talk about it. Or, but there are questions for you to ask yourself as you sort of, you know, go about your days, and you know, when you are unhappy with something, how do you process it within yourself first? Hold on a second. Okay. I just heard something. How do you process it within yourself, and how do you share it with your partner in a way that you'll get the best, or the most desired, or the most productive, or the most connected, or whatever you want to call it, response, right? So it's a
That's what
question.
I'm trying to work on big time. Don't you think part of it, from what you're hearing, is that it's like not having the expectation of him having an answer, but just kind of posing the question and then kind of, or just, you know, stating something, this is what I want, what do you feel, you know, where are
Yes.
you? I don't know.
Well, I think part of it, well, you tell me, like, how was, what was it, di what was different when you got a better result in terms of your approach?
It was very loving the way it was said. It was it the tone was very soft,
Yes.
and as soon as I got a tone that was, I guess what you're saying about the type A get it done, I get into a different mode where I'm like, yeah, let's figure this out. Let's, and I think when that shifted, he shifted.
Yes. Do you know why?
No.
I think what happens is, and you know, we could spend some time really slowing this all down, and me asking you to really check in with yourself. But my sense, and again, I would recommend you sit with this and feel if this is true for you. But my sense is that underneath that, let's get this done, let's make this happen, what's the timeline? Underneath that is a certain level of, I guess we could call it anxiety or discontent, or like things are not, there's an inherent message in there in some way that, and look, I think that we have to have that energy within us in order to make any kind of progress in our lives. Okay, that being said, there's a lot of benefits to that. But inherent in that is sort of an energy that's saying, all right, we need to make some changes. This is not good the way it is. I need improvement. Things aren't right, which can be very triggering for somebody. Right? If they don't move as fast as you, if they don't think as fast as you. And if.
How do you know if they're gonna think, like, okay, let's say I back way off
Yeah.
I don't think he would ever move. So how do I encourage it gently, yet not be that type A push?
That's such a good question. And the answer, right, you don't want to just abandon yourself, because that's a formula for a disaster of a relationship any day of the week, more so than anything else, right? So that's not a good idea. So how do you be honest? So I think that you have to be real clear and honest with yourself about, and this is something for you to, you know, think about and to feel into in terms of, where is that urgency coming from, right? And so on some level, it's coming from a completely healthy desire to move forward and to, you know, have a life together, and all that makes sense, right? But on some level, it's also coming from, I would say, a worried place that it's not going to happen, because this is something you really want, right?
Yeah.
It's something you really want, and you're saying, look, if I don't push this, he's never going to come forward. And so I would recommend that, you know, whenever, this is something always to keep in mind with creating stronger connections with people, is that the more connected to yourself and in touch with your own experience you are, the more you can be vulnerably transparent about that. And you only need to let them know about your process and your experience. So how do you do it without being a type A person? Exactly what you said. You get softer. You become more loving, right? You're loving to yourself and you're loving to him. And you say, look, like, this is something I want so badly, right? And again, not in a way that's, you know, I want this so badly, but it's different. Like, I worry sometimes that, you know, I just want to be with you, and I worry that, you know, you're never going to move forward with it. Like, just let him know how you feel from a real vulnerable, not protected place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that's
Yeah, it is. It's a big step, because I'm like, oh my gosh, talking like that, that's tough to talk to somebody in that way.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I could see that's not how I normally do it.
And it's very tough. It's very tough. And so my sense is that what you could start doing is, you know, hinting at that, testing it. Like, don't go all the way and be like, I want to spend the rest of my, I mean, if you don't feel comfortable saying, you know, I want more than anything else to spend the rest of my life with you, that kind of thing. You can just, you know, a lot of, you know, what you focus on expands. So when things are going well, note that, like you said, like, this went really well about the conversation that you had before, right? And just, you know, I really love being with you. Like, give him a lot of, like, if you really feel that when things are going well, just, like, really express to him how much he means to you. That's the kind of message, I think, that, you know, if you're in this healthy relationship, which it sounds like, you know, you are, right? I mean, I know it's had its, its ups and downs and its pushes and pulls and everything, but it doesn't sound like sometimes. So I know one of the things that, you know, we all have these different sort of settings in terms of the type of people we go after and the patterns that we act out in our lives, right? And so sometimes there's that map or the common sort of idea that, you know, oh, you want the person who's always unavailable, that sort of thing, right? That's BS. I mean, it's not BS. People do go after that, and that's true. But I think that if you can just be honest about how you feel, right, and you're kind about it and you say it with love, if he runs away from that and you're being completely honest and just letting him know how much you love being with him, that sort of thing, I mean, that's a vulnerable thing to do. And if he completely runs for the hills with that, if he can't take that, if he only wants to be with somebody who's completely unavailable or shut down or whatever it is, like, you're not his guy. I mean, sorry, you're not his guy. You're not his gal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think to start, you know, just really throwing a lot of positive attention on the things that are going really well, right? That's going to be a buffer for those times when they aren't going so well as well. Does that make sense?
And I do think we both do that all the time. I think that's normal, and I think that's why we're so happy. And really, when I did it the way you were saying to do it, he looked so lovingly at me the whole time I was talking, and then he reached his hand out, like, for my hand to go in his hand, and he's like, that's what I want too, and it was just, like, really, really sweet. And I thought, whoa, Genev knows her stuff, because that's night and day difference.
It's because you did it, right? It's because you gave him a night and day difference. You showed him what's underneath, right? What's underneath that sort of more anxious, protected shell that he doesn't know is just a shell. Sometimes he thinks that's just you.
Yeah.
When really you're this completely like loving, you know, soft, vulnerable person who's deeply in love with him. Who's not a threat to
I him. Never even realized until you said that I come in like that, though, because I am like a softer person. But in that arena and also in business, I'm not. I'm like, let's get this done. And you're right. That's what I was doing. This was like, oh, okay. Now I get it.
And you know, people say a lot of the times, you know, couples who are in distress, right? They'll say like, oh, he's nicer with like the puppy than he is with me, right? He shows love and affection to the puppy, so I know he's capable of it, but I don't get any of it. And it's because why is that? Or the kid or whatever. Why is that? Well, because a puppy is sweet and non-threatening. Whereas if your partner is disappointed, has high expectations, is, you know, anxious or, you know, angry or unsatisfied or always wants things to improve, that they're a threat as opposed to a soft, cuddly puppy who's going to just follow you around and be your best friend all day long, no matter what you do to him, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the shift, right? By showing him this, the truth, your truth, which you don't have to do all the time in business. You know, you need to get things done in business. You need to, you know what I mean? It's a great, you know, to be successful and driven and a go-getter and all of that is fantastic. But we have other layers underneath us that, you know, your partner might not necessarily always be privy to. That you know, that you feel, that you know, right? But they may not see.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the more you can show him that, right, I think the more you're going to have him reaching for you and, you know, looking at you with those loving eyes, which is what you want, right?
Right. Okay, I'm going to try my best.
You're doing an awesome job. Listen, I'm impressed that you shifted it up at all. You know, it's tough with just sort of, you know, you're working with just yourself and doing this with him. And, you know, we talk every now and then, and it's just really impressive that you're shifting it up. And what a gift to him.
Thanks.
It's really awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. It's so good to hear. Wonderful.
If I may.
Yes.
Pammy.
Hey, Pammy. How are you, Mrs. Stump?
Yes, I am Mrs. Stump.
Congratulations.
It says Woodruff here. I need to update it. Find where it is on Zoom. Anyhow, it was that kind of a shift last summer that led to Jackson wanting to propose. So, yes, softness and vulnerable and leaving the let's get this done at work is it allows him room to step forward. Because if you're doing the let's get this done, it's almost like you're taking his role, and then what does he have to do? So that's my advice.
Good point.
Yes, Pammy, you came up on our last call because remember you were saying how you decided to cook for Jackson and, you know, just make him a meal with love, that sort of thing. That was remembered and reflected upon it because that shift that, I mean, you made that shift and now look, you're married to the man, right? That's what he is.
Yeah. It's in rather than why do I always have to do this? But seeing it, that this was something he received as a gift, as an I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that kind of changed it, you know, and I do like to cook.
Yes.
And he's been making more of an effort to do the cleanup afterwards, which really also helps because then it feels like it's more even. It's not like, well, I'm doing all the kitchen stuff.
Yeah, right. Awesome. No. How are you? How is the wedding? How is your, you know, how is it? I mean, you've been married almost a month. Like, how are you?
Oh, no, it's been 2 weeks.
Two weeks. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, just 2 weeks. Well, it's been pretty good. We've got half the bedroom furniture over, the important half, moved over and most of my clothes moved over, so we're getting there.
Did you have a nice time? Was it a good ceremony?
Did you have fun? There was one little glitch in that Jackson's sister's husband said he wanted a divorce like 3 days before, and so she went rushing off to Oklahoma to follow him, so she wasn't there.
Come on. Bad timing.
And it's like, Can't you wait? Horrible, horrible timing on his part.
I'm so sorry.
She has one of those let's get this done personalities.
Yeah.
And they've been married for about 5 years now, and I think he just couldn't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I have given her some information, and I hope she reads up on it and follows up on it. But it's like that kind of attitude is just death for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a committed, loving relationship. And so anyhow, so she was not there. The brother-in-law was not there. So, we're doing some little shifting stuff around and fewer people at certain things than we were expecting and all that. But it was a beautiful little ceremony. We probably had somewhere between 30 and 40 people there between the family that was able to make it and our church family. And then the reception immediately thereafter. And I guessed on the amount of food just right. I had made some, and a lot of it was given to me. And so I spent very little on the food. I guess like about $75.
Wow. It's like a nice dinner. Like, that's great.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of an hors d'oeuvre type thing.
Beautiful.
Because, the ceremony was at 1 o'clock with the reception about 2. So everybody had just had lunch. So that really helped. But the cakes were given to me. The baklava Wonderful. Was given to me as Wonderful. A gift. Mm. I bought some spanakopita, but I bought the wine and the spanakopita, and everything else was on sale or given to me. And the wine was on sale. I had budgeted a certain amount for 6 bottles, that of this wine that usually, it's a local wine that's usually available about $6. And it went on sale for $2.99, so I got 12
nice,
bottles.
Nice.
For my budget of $36.
Wonderful. That's fantastic.
It's just everything just fell into place. And we only used half of that. So I guess I shouldn't count the whole $75.
Oh, well, it sounds like it was great. I mean, that's
And then,
so
then we did the pictures afterwards. And we've got a forest along the river here and went there and took some pictures. And it was very pretty with the fall leaves and all that. And just waiting to get those pictures back.
And you're going to share them with us because I want to see.
I've only got a few of them right now, and oh my gosh, just something I ate at the reception made me bloat up, so I look about 20 pounds heavier.
Oh, so I'm sure you felt that way, but we probably can't.
No, well, I look almost pregnant, and the ones afterwards, I say, oh well. Yeah. Well,
beautiful, either way.
It's just something like, okay, everything I thought I was eating that was safe wasn't, so.
Well, I'm glad it was a good day, and I'm glad that you're happy, and the move is almost done. And
well, I don't know if it's almost done, but it's getting there.
It's getting there. Good.
I got clothes.
Good. That's what matters. Awesome.
Yeah, and we're working on some of the other stuff. I had had my hours last week were rather abruptly cut back at work, but then those got restored this week, so that helps a lot on the finances. I didn't sleep too well last week with worrying about money.
Ugh.
But it should be all right now. And
good.
We're just making things happen a day at a time. We're working through a couple of issues right now at home. One of them is the furnace has decided to no longer heat up. So we've got a couple of room heaters that we're heating the bedroom and the living room with.
That's good. You've got those space heaters. Must be chilly.
Yeah. So, we got the second one on Saturday afternoon. And so Sunday morning, it got down to somewhere in the 20s Sunday morning. Master bedroom with both heaters in it was 58 degrees, and that was the warmest room in the house.
Oh, man. You're hanging out there.
Yeah, but now we're getting to where we're getting, you know, 61 in the family room, maybe 64 in the bedroom. So that's
good. No, you can do that. That's okay.
Yeah, we're hanging in there, and everything's starting to warm up a little bit. So,
well, it's a good thing you got that heat going on in your marriage, because that'll keep things hot.
Well, that's true. The other thing we're dealing with is an aging dog, and I think she will not make it through the winter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're kind of planning a trip to go see his dad the week after Christmas, and I don't know if she's going to make it that long, or if she will die while we're gone, or what. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't know what to do about that. But yeah, she kind of stumbles a bit when she gets up and is limping. And I know dogs try to hide that as long as they can.
So.
For her to be showing this, then she's feeling pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So yeah, it's trying to. You know, I reminded Jackson again today that, you know, if she should happen to pass away, they're supposed to call me and my son right away, because we're going to come over and bury her right next to his dog that died last January.
They were friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Anyhow.
All right.
Those are the things we're dealing with, and she's like, wants to be in the warmest room next to the heater, but then she needs to go out, and that happens in the middle of the night, and happened repeatedly last night, and he was so good to get up and do that, but I could tell he wasn't too happy about it.
Okay. It looks like Doris has her hand up. Doris?
Okay, I'll let Doris go.
Yeah, no, but it's good to hear from you, Pammy. I'm glad that everything went well at the wedding, and I hope your doggie's okay. Well, it sounds like she's old.
She's old.
Yeah.
She's about 14.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure you guys gave her a great life, so. Uh-huh. All right. Sorry. Doris, you can just talk. You don't need to raise your hand. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I wanted to congratulate Pammy.
Oh, thank you.
you're so matter of fact about it.
I know.
I have to go back in for to work, so then I'll just be listening.
Yeah.
I'm glad you came out to tell. I know you're like the, you know, it's a big deal getting married, you know. It's
yes it is, and I'm still getting used to so much of it, but
I'm sure.
I was scrolling through one of those one of my friends had posted one of those name test things where it said, you know, your friend's most likely to stay, you know, be in bed by midnight on New Year's Eve versus those old Israels, you know, be up past midnight.
Yeah.
And I saw this name, Pamela Stump. I saw that name looks familiar. I think I know her. Oh, wait, that's me.
Yeah, I know. It's taking some getting used to, I bet, right?
Yes, it does. So it's like, well, that looks familiar. And I literally did, in the space of about a half a second, say, oh, that name looks familiar. I know her from somewhere. So wait, that's my name now.
Very good. Very good. So anything else going on? I know, Doris, I think you wanted to talk a little bit. Last week you mentioned about talking about limiting beliefs, blueprint for love. And so next week, or not next week, but our next class or presentation, whatever, I'm going to share a lot more about that, but we can certainly talk about that if you wanted to bring up anything around that, or if anybody else has questions as well. So you let me know. Did you want to talk about that, Doris?
Oops.
Row 273-2704.
What's that?
Who's the fourth person on the call? I just wanted to have a name. The person who you were speaking to just before. Was that Heather?
No. I don't know if she wants to say her name because we're recording.
Okay. Well, I just wanted I just had some thoughts about that conversation.
Yes, talk. Please let us know.
And I just wondered, does it have to be so much work, for heaven's sakes? You know, isn't there at least a period where it's not so much work and only periodically there's a lot of work?
Well,
it just seems like so much work.
Well, I think that when, how do I say more, Doris, about it being so much work? What do you mean by that? I think I know what you mean, but I just want to hear a little bit more from you about what sounds like so much work.
Well, it sounds to me there's a lot of tiptoeing. And I think when you spoke about being real about what you're feeling and your emotions, I think that's so important, and it's also something that you may not get the response that you want when you're showing the emotions you're really feeling, but
correct.
Better now than later. It just seems to me that there's so much effort and energy being quote unquote wasted to maintain, I don't know, there's a lot of wishful thinking here in my sense.
You know, I love that, you know, it is, you know, Doris, it is so much work. And I think that I'm not going to judge it either way, but there doesn't have to be though, because what is the thing that will set us free? The truth will set you free, right? And so when we can just, it's just so tough because we grow up in relationships and, you know, we grow up protecting ourselves we grow up completely vulnerable and totally reliant and totally dependent on the people around us, emotionally and otherwise. And we are all connected in that way. And because, I mean, everybody looking back in our histories, there's been trauma everywhere, right? And the way, and some for more people, for some more than others, whether it's, you know, whatever degree of it, but societally, so culturally, I mean, just as a whole, the world for the most part, and our understanding, and obviously I'm speaking through my limited Western lens, but there has been a grave misunderstanding about how I think how we all are, like our reality is widely missed. It's like the world is flat type of thinking that I'm an individual and someone else is an individual and we're all very, very, very separate. I know I'm kind of all over the place with this, but I promise I'm trying to make something, something clear here. And so anyway, we grow up and we get hurt and we get, you know, disappointed and our needs aren't fully met. And we learn to protect ourselves and we learn to, you know, not walk around without any skin on because we would just get killed if we did that, right? Our skin holds us together. And I mean like emotionally, right? We don't, you know, necessarily open ourselves up and ask for our needs to be met by other people, which other people do. We do have emotional needs that are met by other people. And we learn through our own familial programming, our cultural program, education, all the rest, like through all the different ways we learn how to do this. We see others and we learn about how to do relationships and stuff. And it's often wrong. And so we experience ourselves, I think, in a limited way. We don't necessarily experience or allow ourselves to easily go to, and some of us more than others, okay, but many of us don't easily go to that sort of raw, vulnerable place of really connecting to our absolute need for connection from others, because in some ways it's a powerless feeling, right? So we have been coached, taught, conditioned all throughout our lives to kind of avoid that place, but it's still a real place within each and every one of us. And so the way that we try to get those needs met can somehow be self-defeating and self-sabotaging. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Me, totally. I'm hearing this going, yeah, it's, I just want to say for the record too, just, I mean, I know we're in this conversation and here are my problems. I'm happy in my everyday there. It's like, if I wasn't, I wouldn't be in that. I wouldn't care to be in that.
Yeah.
My days are extremely fulfilling with him. I enjoy it very much. He does too. But me, I want to move ahead. He has fears of moving ahead. So I feel like that is our one stopping point. And I truly feel like, you know, we're starting to work it out a little bit. That to me is really important that we are. It's worth it to me to try. And it's not like every day is like, oh gosh, it's not. It's enjoyable. It's fun. I think we have a great relationship, but I don't see it moving forward in my own, because of his fears, because of the way I am. So that's why I want to work on it, so that hopefully we do and can be happily ever after is my goal.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like you're that far from it, but the conversations that you guys can get into can go nowhere fast if you're not working right at it, and if you're not being self-reflective and self-aware about it and consciously understanding the implications of how you present yourself and your feelings to him, because they have huge implications of what side of yourself that you decide to show.
Yeah,
that's what I've seen in the past. Yeah, it can be a huge problem or it can go really well, and it's hard for me to tell how to do it, but I'm learning, and I think that that doesn't matter if I'm with him or anybody else. I think I have certain blocks that are encouraging this, and he probably does too, and we're both just trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. We all do, 100%. So, mm-hmm. And the real work is, and it is work though, absolutely. And the real work is really allowing yourself to feel your experience on all levels and presenting it to the other person in a, like you said, soft, loving way that is a lot harder to do, because it's sort of taking a one down approach in a way. It's just being like completely vulnerable with somebody. And again, like you said, Doris, they may not have the kind of reaction that you're hoping for, which is why it makes you so vulnerable, right?
And and if they don't, at what point do you say, okay, you know, you draw the line and say, you're not the guy for me.
Yeah.
Instead of suffering and trying to be sweet and do this and do that, and maybe if I'm patient and it's
absolutely oof. Right.
You know, so, and the effort has to come from both sides. And if this person's not giving you what you need, well, he's not. And chances are he may not ever give you what you're looking for.
Right.
So even though you have nice times, I'm sure you have nice times with lots of people, if it's something that I sense that is really something deep in you that you really want, I don't know you and I don't know your situation, but there's a lot of pretending here in my opinion.
What do you mean, Doris?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. But I mean to say is that, I mean, it shouldn't be an effort for you to be who you really are. You are who you are. And, you know, you can be yes, we should all make an effort to be loving and considerate and thoughtful and offer and ask the other person how they're feeling and why I mean, a good conversation might be why he's so uncomfortable with it and not ready. And when he thinks he's going to be ready. And it's just that I hate to see so many people invest so much in sunk costs.
Well, I think that is my big concern. That's my fear, is exactly what you're saying. What if it doesn't move on to anything? But he says he wants the same things. He has fears about moving ahead in his own right. And I mean, I've had a friend who had the same thing, again, as of no reason from the person that she was with, but the now husband waited for many years before they got married. They are probably the happiest couple I know, but he certainly had to be patient. And he could have very easily said, you don't want the same things I want, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. But you know, then he could have missed out on the greatest love of his life. They're adorable. They're over the top amazing. But she had fears that had nothing to do with him. And I feel like, to me, it seems like the same situation here, where they were in place before I got here. I had fears in place before he got here. And I would like to figure out my own roadblocks and hope that he figures out his, and see if we can come together. And I think when you say, like, at what point do you say enough is enough? I think it's whenever it stops being a wonderful, great relationship. I think at this point, it's still wonderful and great. Sometimes you get to a point where you say, gosh, every day I'm frustrated because we're not on the same page. Maybe at that point, you think about going separate ways. That's just my own guess as to how it might go. And I hope it goes to the point where he steps up. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is be the best that I can, because I think whether I'm with him or anybody else, I do think this part of my personality is something that I want to work on.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And what's important is that you want to develop that part of you.
I do. I think I have had different things in relationships. Like Pammy was saying, she likes to do dinner and that sort of thing. I never did that before, but I'm starting to do these things that it's like, I feel like people in relationships want that. I enjoy that. So why wouldn't I take that step forward? So I don't want to change something that I wouldn't want to change anyway, but hopefully, you know, we want to change the same things, which thus far, that's what it's been. And, you know, I just think what you're saying about that, that's truly, honestly, my fear is that that's what it's going to be. At the end of it, he's not going to go step forward, and all this time will have gone by, and how do I know? I mean, he says this is what he wants, but, you know, when they don't take their steps forward, it's just like my friend who said, I'm not ready yet. I knew she loved him. I knew she loved him to the ends of the earth, but she had been married before, and it went very poorly for her. She waited 10 years before she said, yeah, let's do it. And they got married on the 10-year anniversary of when they met. And I am telling you, they're a remarkable couple. But he never pressured her. He never pushed her. And she said if he would have, she would have left because she wouldn't have liked the feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I feel like for all of us, a choice at a certain point, is it not fitting? Or am I not able to be patient anymore? And I don't want to be patient for 10 years, personally. That's not what I want. And I don't know how to find out. Is he going to be 5 years? Is he going to be 3 years? Like, we're already past 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I must be biased also because I waited 17 years. And I missed a lot of other opportunities in the process.
And
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you were also saying, Doris, that, you know, at what point, right, to like put on, you know, at what point, I think the line too is about, you know, being honest with yourself as opposed to abandoning yourself and you know, being clear about what it is that you, you know, what you were saying about, okay, so you're doing it for you when she said how she's doing it. She wants to do this either way for herself, right? And there's a benefit for you either way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because so often mm-hmm. we say, you know, when you meet the right person, sometimes you meet the right person at the wrong time, or you meet, you know, and yes, it may be that at the wrong time, but, you know, how much, when is this going to become the right time? In 10 years? In 5 yeah. years?
Well, and I think, yeah, and I think too, like you were saying that, you know, he came in it with his roadblocks and you came in it with your roadblocks, and you know, that's what our relationships do, is they kind of force us to look at things the way we do things and how to change them, right? They cause us to grow, and they're opportunities for, they're our teachers in many ways as well. And so, you know, this whole like not committing thing, like that ain't going to fly for you, right? You're going to ask him to step up and be, you know, a different kind of person, or not change himself fundamentally, but in terms of, you know, doing something, get him out of his comfort zone a bit. And to be able to do that in the most effective way possible, you know, to get your needs met and to let him know exactly what they are in a way that he can actually hear without getting triggered and shut down and all the rest is sort of part of the whole process.
Yeah. You know, that's why I think your conversation's going to, when we start talking about beliefs, it's going to be so interesting.
Yeah, say more, Doris, because I know you're keen on hearing about it. I'd love to hear more from you about that, you know, in terms of, you know, what...
Well, you know, and I re-listened to the wonderful presentation you gave us 2 weeks ago, And a lot of these things, the evidence is there, the science is there, but there's still the block putting it into execution.
Yeah.
And I think the block to execution is our wounds, our yes. past experiences, our beliefs, our, you know, who we've become and been programmed to become over the, you know, decades.
Totally. Totally.
And so it's all wonderful, but if you get triggered, you get triggered.
Totally.
And until you stop what it is that's getting you triggered, if you don't address that, then you're going to keep getting triggered.
Absolutely. Right. Right. And so really being, really taking a sort of tough look at things and really looking at them and really trying to tease apart, okay, what's my stuff? What's my story versus what's really there? You know, that's a hard thing for any of us to do because the only lens that we have is our own eyes, you know, or not really, we have different senses, but you know what I mean? I mean, we've lived our experiences and we know ourselves to be a certain way and we know things are a certain way. And, you know, we've got these limitations based on how we look at the world and just our own, like you said, our wounds and our unwounds, not even wounds necessarily, but just the way things are done. Right. Mm-hmm. So to be able to kind of back up and really say, okay, why do I do this? Right. And understanding mm-hmm. and it gives you your power backs to be able to choose a new way, which is uncomfortable and doesn't feel good and is not, you know, it's very difficult at first and scary at times, but with that awareness comes that choice and that decision. And then you can be more, you know,
Right. And what's creator, wonderful right? is that science is also showing that you can change and totally. You can rewire and you can, that it's not, you know, a lost cause. You
100%.
Really, it's not living with, it's really being able to transform.
Totally. Literally change your brain, like the structure of your brain. Absolutely. 100%. It's pretty cool, right?
Very. It gives hope.
100%. Yeah. But it's work. It's not easy because if we wanted to just carry things out and not look at things and be mindless and just kind of go through the motions, then, you know, that's what a lot of people do, right? Mm-hmm. But it takes work to change generations of people and, you know, how, you
it
know,
is all generation.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Totally. Wonderful. And we can talk, you know, we'll certainly talk more about that in terms of our relationships and I can share some more of the, you know, the work on that that's been done because there's been plenty of it. And, you know, how to understand yourself and your own experiences in that lens. But I don't know, anything else you guys got going on that you wanted to talk about?
I hope one day we can also talk about forgiving.
Oh yeah. I need to do a class on that for sure. For sure. I mean, more than just a class, obviously. Yeah. Do you want to say more about that, Doris?
I mean, it's easy to say, I forgive you, but it's very difficult to really forgive for that, not to carry a weight in your relationship to that person. Mm. And when you talked about the positive regard, that also it's linked to that positive regard is gone.
Yeah.
I think that, and how do you know when you've really forgiven? Mm. And it's for your own benefit.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
That it no longer plays, it no longer manipulates you.
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely a big topic and one that's absolutely fundamental to be, you know, we talked about trust last time, right? And that's such a huge part of it. One of the things that people are often surprised about when it comes to forgiveness is just how unforgiving they are to themselves. Mm-hmm. About certain things, you know, so
and then there's, you know, forgiving in terms of in the realm of relationship, there's forgiving when you're still together, and there's forgiving when you're no longer together.
Yes.
In both cases, it's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's if you want to be together and have a relationship, it's absolutely necessary, right? And then the other kind of forgiving is really a letting go of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up so much when you're able to do that. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It can be hard.
It's hard. And yeah, and if you're not, if you can't open that up, then you're holding that, you're hostage to that forever and ever.
Totally. Totally.
It costs immense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the things I do love that can help tremendously, if you feel like, and we can, you know, we'll talk about this, and maybe this will be our our next topic, because this has been one that's been floating around in my head for a while that I've been meaning to do, and I just haven't. But one of the things that I think is absolutely helpful with everything, when I mean limiting beliefs, forgiveness, all of those things, is the tapping. Because so much of this stuff is locked in our bodies, in our cells. We don't necessarily, our emotional body is our physical body, and it gets kind of stuck in there. And, you know, all the thinking in the world isn't going to help release that. So sometimes by doing the tapping, and I'll share a video, like Brad Yates is a great person to tap along to, or, you know, I'll put something in our group. But along with the tapping, even just like if there's any little, you know, resentment, it just can help so much with releasing things and getting to new levels with it. And anyway, I wanted to say that because
part of the rewiring, huh?
1,000%, yeah. Because you get so your right brain is emotional and, you know, visual and not thinking so much, and your left brain is more logical thinking, all of the rest. And when things happen that are emotionally upsetting or trauma, really, it kind of gets stuck in, you'll see brain scans of people with trauma, your right brain like lights up. It's like very activated. And I think one of the, well, and it's trapped in your amygdala and your brain, that sort of thing. And one of the things that I think tapping really helps with, and I'll share an article about this too, because it's not just me that thinks this, with, you know, not some kind of, oh, here's whatever, anyway. But it really, you know, it freezes. It kind of freezes and it gets stuck there, right? And so to keep the emotions flowing, to keep the energy flowing, like that's the name of the game, to release and to continue to sort of flourish as a living body, right? And so the tapping really helps it unlock it by focusing on the negative thing that you're feeling, whether it's a fear or a resentment or something that you feel really stuck with. By focusing on that negative thing and by tapping, you're unlocking it. You're unlocking the memory in a way, and you're letting it flow and you're letting it move. And it's pretty phenomenal what it does. So anyway, I think with forgiveness,
it's linked to the what you resist persists. So you have
totally.
To sort of rule it in order to make for it to disappear.
Yes, but the problem is that so many times we don't even realize that we're resisting it necessarily because it's stuck, right? It's just stuck, and it's sort of how things go. And so if you're feeling stuck with a feeling, with a resentment, with something that just doesn't feel good, with a fear, with a discomfort, you know, many of us will just move away from it and avoid it because we don't like it, right? So to look at it straight in the face and be like, okay, even though I'm, you know, feeling yucky about this thing and you don't know what it is, right? To tap along with it, and it can unlock a lot of things, and it's just very, very powerful work. So
yeah, that will be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, maybe it all comes down to that. You know, we avoid pain or unpleasant, and seek pleasure or pleasant. It all comes down to that, doesn't it?
Maybe. And we're protecting ourselves from pain and from things that we're scared of, right? And
yeah, exactly.
And as a result, we come off as being you know, having high expectations in our relationships and being uppity and giving the message that the other person's wrong and they're disappointing us, when really we just want them to come closer and to show up for us, right? When really we're just scared that they won't. So around and around you go, right? I mean, that's sort of part of
avoiding pain.
Yeah. Or, yeah, pain that may not even be there, right? When we just open ourselves up to the truth and, you know, pain, we're going to suffer no matter what. That's the first noble truth, right?
Yeah. And that reality is not as bad as we think it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. Exactly. Exactly. It is what it is, right? We make it worse a lot of the times. We bring it on ourselves and, you know, we don't have to. But we'll definitely talk more about the limiting beliefs. And we can even talk about what I'll do is I'll even share some more about tapping on how that can help with that too, as well as the forgiveness piece, because, well, those are two separate things. But I think the tapping is just so powerful, because relationships, as I always say, right, it's all about emotions and emotional connection. And emotions aren't, you know, they're not always pleasant. And we don't like to always, you know, sit with all of them. And so, anyway, I think the emotions are energy, and, you know, by helping them move and flow and being honest with them and processing them, like that's the name of the game, to flourish, right?
I look forward to that.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's good. We'll see.
I'm sure it will be.
Well, I'm glad to get your always, guys, suggestions, please, like whatever you want, we'll talk about, we'll do more. You know, that's what this is about. Anything else for today that you guys wanted to talk about or bring up? We still have, you know, we can keep going. I love seeing you guys here. I love this time to connect with you guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm very generous of you.
How is it, Jen? No, it's my, this is great. I love it. I love it. I guess that's it.
Yeah, we've got one more person there, don't we? A new person who joined us a little while ago.
No, this is me. I switched to phone and Zoom kept trying to reconnect, and so I was trying to turn it off.
Well, I am grateful to all of you guys for being here. I think, Doris, you're the only one who's not. Are you? You're back. You're not in the States anymore. How was the end of the rest of your trip? Good?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
It was fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine you guys are, not you, Doris, but the rest of you are celebrating Thanksgiving.
Well.
That's assumptive on my part.
Well, Genev, I'm inviting 10 Swiss people over to my home.
Oh, I love
for
it.
For Thanksgiving on Sunday.
I love it.
I can't imagine. I've had to go all over Switzerland to get cranberries, to get pumpkin filling, to get turkeys. I couldn't get one big turkey. I had to get two smaller ones. And you wouldn't believe the cost of turkey in this country.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yes.
You're doing Thanksgiving.
Yes, the classical traditional Thanksgiving for this group of Swiss friends.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun. I love it. I love it. Oh, I wish we could do Swiss stuff here. We should. You'll teach us about Swiss things.
Just do fondue. That's easy.
What's that?
Just do a cheese fondue or a raclette, you know? That's so easy.
Maybe for you it's easy. But anyway, guys, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful to you guys. And Doris, have fun and have a fun Swiss Thanksgiving. And your first holiday season as Mrs. Stump, I love it. Right? Enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And thank you guys for being here. So we'll meet again on, I don't know, December 4th, I think is the date. Is that right? 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, or December, whatever. It's that Tuesday, the first Tuesday in December, and we'll do a class or a training on limiting beliefs and our tendencies, our sort of blueprint for love, so to speak. And this also ties into a question that was emailed about just general kind of anxiety in relationships, because it's all connected. So if anything else comes up, guys, let me know. I'm always here. And, well, I'm not always here, but I'm always here. But have an awesome couple weeks, and I'll see you in Facebook and on the emails, and take care, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.